The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That seems like a simple, straightforward statement. But some have taken that verse and injected a different meaning into it. What new meaning has been placed there? Stay tuned.
Dr. Ross has been quoted as saying that long before Big Bang theorists ever came around, Moses predicted the Big Bang.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. Sadly, there are some people that have altered the clear meaning of Scripture when it comes to the origin of the universe. They are known as progressive creationists. One belief that progressive creationists have is the theory of the Big Bang. Could the Big Bang have really created the universe? And does the Bible back it up? Please join us for the next 15 minutes as we look at part two in our 8-part series on progressive creationism. Today, we'll learn about the theory of the Big Bang and the biblical case for creation. Much of what you hear today has been taken from ICR's new audio project entitled After Eden. Doug Phillips is president of Vision Forum. He gives us a description of one of the main tenets of progressive creationism, the Big Bang.
Well, for one thing, they include the belief in the Big Bang, not as a theory, but as an absolute fact, non-negotiable, that God used the Big Bang 17 billion years ago to create the universe.
Dr. Russell Humphreys is a physicist with ICR. He explains that this belief in the Big Bang is crucial to progressive creationists, including its main proponent, Dr. Hugh Ross.
It's absolutely essential to Hugh Ross. He has staked everything on the validity of this theory. And it's important to realize why he does this. And it actually touches on a point of agreement that I have with him. Both Dr. Ross and I agree that Einstein's general theory of relativity, that's relativity, is probably correct. Now, Dr. Ross would go further and say it's 100% correct. I would say it's a pretty close approximation to the truth, and it's a good thing. Now, other creationists would not all agree with me about the validity of relativity, but I start from that point. And Dr. Ross starts from that point. It's experimentally well established, very well established.
And this is where Dr. Hugh Ross makes a big assumption.
Well, then Dr. Ross then makes his crucial assumption. Dr. Ross thinks the only cosmology that you can build on general relativity is the Big Bang theory. My book, Starlight and Time, gives a counterexample, and it's one of many possible theories one could build on Einstein's framework, and I think we have a good chance at several others coming up within creationism. So Dr. Ross's key assumption that the Big Bang is the only theory that can come from relativity is wrong.
And there is a second assumption Dr. Ross makes about the Big Bang.
Now, the second thing he assumes is that the Big Bang is the only theory that can explain all the facts that we see about the universe. And I think we creationists have already started off showing that that's wrong. In fact, I think there's very many things wrong with the Big Bang right now.
There are many scientific problems with the Big Bang, and we'll look at those in just a moment. But first, Doug Phillips explains to us how progressive creationists make the Bible conform to the Big Bang theory.
They argue that Big Bang is a fact not only because science or general revelation to their way of thinking has proven it, but because it is a basic assumption of the Bible. In fact, Dr. Ross has been quoted as saying that long before Big Bang theorists ever came around, Moses predicted the Big Bang.
Dr. Russ Humphreys points out another biblical idea that Dr. Ross uses and claims as his own unique theory.
One of those is the fact that the heavens were stretched out. And I agree with him. I think that's an evidence that God has stretched out the fabric of space. And I mention that a lot in my book. So that's not unique to his theory. There are other theories that can make use of that fact, and mine does. So if you have two theories that explain the same evidence, then you can't claim the evidence as unique proof of one theory. And that's the problem. Dr. Ross does not recognize the existence of other possible explanations.
But the Bible doesn't support the Big Bang. It actually contradicts it.
There's absolutely no biblical case for the Big Bang. The order of events is all wrong. For example, you have in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, darkness. The Big Bang starts off with light. The first element that's formed in the Big Bang is hydrogen. The first material that's mentioned in Genesis 1, 2 is water. You have the Earth occurring right away. According to the Big Bang theorists, First you have light, then you have hydrogen, then you have stars, then finally, many billions of years later, you have planets. Then light is mentioned after the Earth. So the order is all wrong, as well as the time scale. So I think it's stretching the facts extremely hard to try to claim that the Big Bang theory is there in the Bible.
Dr. Ross claims not only that the Bible supports the Big Bang, but that other scientists agree with him about it. Dr. Henry Morris is founder of ICR.
I think that Dr. Ross, in his, at least in his earlier writings, has stressed the fact that the Big Bang theory confirms Genesis 1:1 in his view, that that's the account of creation. In the beginning, God created. He says that these modern astronomers are coming back to God through their belief in the Big Bang.
There are many modern-day cosmologists that don't hold to the theory of the Big Bang at all.
Cosmologists don't all hold to the Big Bang theory, for one thing. He says they all do, but they don't. And several years ago, I wrote to him, and I told him that you're wrong about that. They're not all Big Bang cosmologists. Many of the most prominent cosmologists and astronomers don't believe it. Not only Fred Hoyle, who's well known, but many, many others. In fact, I listed, as I recall, about 15 prominent astronomers who rejected the Big Bang theory. This is from Jeffrey Burbidge out at UCSD, and he's certainly a prominent, well-thought-of astronomer. Big Bang cosmology, he says, is probably as widely believed as has been any theory of the universe in the history of Western civilization. It rests, however, on many untested and in some cases untestable assumptions. Indeed, Big Bang cosmology has become a bandwagon of thought that reflects faith as much as objective truth. And this situation is particularly worrisome because there are good reasons to think the Big Bang model is seriously flawed.
Many cosmologists believe in different versions of the Big Bang.
A recent book about 2 years ago by Fred Hoyle and with these other men co-authoring, rejecting the Big Bang theory, and there are many others who do. But they don't do it because they believe Genesis. None of them will believe Genesis 1:1, as far as I know.
Many cosmologists believe in different versions of the Big Bang.
Most of them go to the idea of evolution of something out of nothing, the quantum fluctuation of nothing into something. Alan Guth and others that developed that theory of inflation and the idea of Big Bang theory just happened. In fact, a couple of authors have written something to the effect that you don't have to have a cause for the Big Bang, it just happened. Nothing caused it at all. Well, of course, that completely negates all of science, which is based on cause and effect, if anything. Another quote from Robert Oldershaw, and he talks about the new book by Fred Hoyle, attacking the Big Bang theory. He says, I don't expect the vast majority of astronomers to pay the slightest heed to Hoyle and his colleagues. Frankly, there are too many careers riding on the Big Bang being right. And so they believe it just because of peer pressure, not because of the evidence.
Another evidence is the very cool radiation, or microwaves, that are all over the universe. If there was a Big Bang, there would have to be different temperatures of radiation. Both the redshift and the microwaves are factors used by cosmologists to prove the Big Bang. But there are alternate explanations for each. Dr. Russ Humphreys.
There aren't too many facts to explain until recently in cosmology. One was the shifting of light into the red end of the spectrum the further away a distant star is, or galaxy. That's one of the big ones. And another is this bath of very low intensity microwaves coming from all directions. That's another big factor. Those are actually the two main pegs on which the Big Bang theory is stretched. Now, as we're starting to find out other data about just how far away things really are, and they are far away, and how much redshift we get from each one, Big Bang theory is starting to stretch and groan a bit.
And the Hubble Space Telescope has found even more evidence of elements like oxygen that shouldn't be out there in space if the Big Bang happened, as cosmologists say.
One of the things wrong with the Big Bang is that the Hubble Space Telescope is showing lots of facts that are discordant with it. And one of those facts is the fact that the Hubble Space Telescope is seeing evidence of elements, atoms, of oxygen, carbon, nitrogen, such things like that, very far out. And the problem is that the Big Bang cannot explain those elements that far away. And that's only one of many problems. In other words, as we're finding out more and more data, we're finding that the Big Bang theory is not capable of explaining these data. And so this theory is getting stretched very thin.
Another problem with the Big Bang
is the amount of matter found in the universe.
It's not near the critical level that it needs to be for astronomers to see. It's about a few percent of the amount of matter that we should be seeing. They have had a tremendous search for this missing matter, and they can't find it. And yet it's required by either the Big Bang or the inflationary version of the Big Bang. Actually, the Big Bang had the problem first, and Alan Guth invented a very rapid expansion of the universe in the first umpteenth fraction of a second to get it to solve some of the problems. But Alan Guth's inflationary cosmology requires that we see about 30 times more matter than we are seeing. So there isn't nearly enough matter visible. There's less than 1/30th of the amount of matter that's supposed to be there as required by the inflationary version of the Big Bang, and the inflationary version is required to solve other problems that the Big Bang had. So right now the Big Bang is in serious contradiction with the actual observation. And they assume that, well, since we can't see it, it must be invisible or dark. But it hasn't been found yet, either the Big Bang or the inflationary version of the Big Bang.
Scientific evidence tells us that the universe has a center. This is crucial to disproving the Big Bang theory. The amazing thing is that God's Word says the same thing.
But I think we should look to the creationists for the best possible theories, because they're the ones in conformance with Scripture. Scripture is quite clear that the universe has a center. So the fact that the universe has a center, and we're fairly close to it on a cosmological scale of things, is good evidence that the Big Bang is wrong. And Dr. Ross doesn't seem to understand this, but it's the crucial difference between my cosmology and the Big Bang. So he's hitched his wagon to a human theory, and it looks like that theory is in the process of going down the drain.
Dr. John Morris is president of ICR. So what does he have to say about the Big Bang?
The progressive creation idea demands the millions and hundreds of millions and billions of years of geologic time. We can't see this thing happening. We didn't see it happen in the past, and we're trying to explain the past in terms of what we see in the present. This whole idea is all mathematics. The Big Bang is really a mathematical solution to Einstein's equations and his model. The idea that evolutionists have come up with, that's what's determinative to him, and he's going to make Scripture fit to that. He says his view is just more scientific than the Big Bang, and it's also much more biblical. Maybe there's something better out there, but it's all mathematics. And as Christians, we've got to make sure that our thinking in every area, even mathematics, is in submission to God's Word, and the Big Bang doesn't seem to be.
Thank you for joining us for our program on the Big Bang, which is part two in our Progressive Creationism series. We hope you've been blessed by today's broadcast. If you'd like to learn more about Progressive Creationism, please ask for the special edition cassette entitled Creation, the Curse, and the Cross, a look at Progressive Creationism. Just ask for it when you call our toll-free number. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800-7-GENESIS. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. If there's a topic you would like us to cover on the program, then email us at radio@icr.org. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.